You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With clients in over 20 Broadway shows and other stages across the globe, we are your one-stop shop for all things fitness and theater. If you're looking to marry a career in theater with a pursuit in fitness to better your performance on the stage, we're that platform for you. Been doing this for 17 years. I know, long time. And I'd love to get a chance to chat with you. So go to builtforthestage.com if you want to try out working with me on an interactive fitness app at no cost. Builtforthestage.com. All right, let's get on to our special guest. Super excited for this one. Been following from afar on the gram, literally from a very, very far, far way away. It's actually a different day where our guest is. They're in Australia right now, and they recently were the dance captain in Jagged Little Pill. They toured a bit in Wedding Singer. They worked alongside this guy you might know, Warren Carlyle, in a production that was called Havana. Our guest is a dancer, and I'm really excited to get to know her more. Please welcome to the podcast, Rami Vuksin. Hey, Rami.
Hi. Oh my gosh, that is the best intro ever.
No, get out of here.
No, seriously, wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much for that. I feel, really special. And I'm traveling right now. Good morning from, what date is it over here? Wednesday, the 9th of November.
Yeah, and it's Tuesday the 8th here on the East Coast in the U.S. So look how technology works. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's the one good thing, I think, to come out of these times, just like how advanced we've got with everything. You know, being able to connect with people like this is epic. I love it.
It's epic, and I also feel like behind the times still. The main, like one of the founders of Broadway Podcast Network, Alan, he also works for Google, and he's like this amazing tech head. Yeah. So everything that I do, I'm like, oh, Alan's going to be so ashamed of me.
No, it's just like awesome that you're doing it. You know what I mean? Like, what an incredible platform you have. You know, the fact that I'm here and that I've found you on the gram and I've had friends go through you from all over the world, you know, it's like, that's really cool.
No, this episode's about you, Rami. This is about you. This is about you. So to lighten things up, to start, it's been like wedding season for you, it seems like, on your social media. Have you been to a few weddings as of late?
Yeah.
And you got engaged also?
Yeah, I'm engaged as well.
Congratulations. Thanks.
I did meet my fiance on The Wedding Singer.
You know, so, what? You just posted, I think, about him going to the States. So I was like, oh, let me click his profile. And I thought I saw in his bio that he was on the tour. So yeah. I was trying to put that. There you go.
Yeah, there he played Bobby Hart. I think the backlog of weddings at the moment, like everyone's just like obviously had to postpone things 17,000 times. So, but to be honest, they've been my first like adult weddings. I think not a lot of my friends actually have like settled down yet in that kind of way. So it's been fun.
Right. How fun, speaking of fun, how fun is the music in Wedding Singer? So I saw the opening or the first like premiere of it on Broadway in 2006 or seven, yeah, something like that.
Around then,
Get Out of the Dumpster? I mean, come on, like how fun! Or It's Your Wedding Day, or Casualty of Love. I used to listen to Casualty of Love in the gym, Rami. In the gym,
a workout song, like get that anger, dun, like dun. Yeah. Dun, dun. It's just like. you just can't not have a good time. And I actually think for us, it was the first thing to come back kind of post COVID around here for a while. And it was just a night of fun and a night out of the theater that everyone just enjoyed. But I think they were so clever to like not make it a jukebox musical, but then to include like Adam Sandler's songs that he wrote for the movie, because then they're the iconic ones. I like dancing to that. And I mean, I danced for that entire show. The choreographer, Michael Ralph, left no beat unturned in the best way possible. I got to assist him on some of the curry, and then obviously I was dance captain on that as well, in an onstage position. So it's very close to my heart, that show here, but I'm pretty sure it was the first time, I might be wrong, but professionally done over here. So yeah, it was epic. The music is just Saturday Night in the City. So I got to be Holly, the best friend in New Zealand when we toured there. We can get back to that. But I basically, Jagged finished for a bit. I got to go rejoin Wedding Singer in New Zealand and then come back to Jagged. And I got to go on Holly.
Epic. It was
like maybe one of the best moments in my life so far, apart from getting engaged.
What's the best moment in your life? Well, it's getting engaged, but second, like a really close second, was having water dumped all over me on stage in the most epic fashion.
Well, like I'm scrouting like a top E or whatever it is, and you know, like living my Flashdance dreams on this tiny little podium thing with you know, an audience. It's like, how could that not fulfill my life, you know?
Right. And when I saw it again, it was like there was no other references to like, hey, there's this thing that so when it happened right before the end of the act, my jaw just like hit the floor, like, oh, this is really happening right now.
I mean, what a way to end an act one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, after that, you're like, how do you top that? Like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
No,
Let's rewind to, you know, you becoming the epic dancer and performer that you are. When did this, was this like right out of the gate? You're young and you're like, I want to go to dance class, and your parents take you there. Is that what happens?
Yeah, pretty much. I actually like no performance history in my family apart from me. I'm pretty sure my nana on my mom's side tapped for fun. But I'm kind of the first one that's, you know, said, hey, I'm going to do this. But I was like 2.5, I think, when I went to my first class, and I actually got kicked out, which is always so funny. I think I was in like a ballet style class, and mom said I was just like doing somersaults and like flicking the girl's skirts up and just like being a bit of a menace. And they were like, we don't think this is for you. So I got kicked out and then put into jazz. And obviously from there, I was living my best life. From then I was 4, I started tap. At 6, they forced me back into ballet because they were like, we think this girl has some potential. Like, she needs to do ballet if she wants to do this for a long time. And then from the age of 8, I was dancing 6 nights a week, I'm pretty sure. Just like everything and anything. I was the song and dance girl at a Stedford's. And then come 17, I got a scholarship to the full-time course I went to in Melbourne. And here we are, post-pandemic and all.
Here we are, right? Oh, gosh. Don't remind us.
No, sorry.
Before we visit Jagged Little Pill or visit the New Zealand portion of the tour or anything else we visit, touch on, I was very like intrigued about this Havana workshop or whatever. Yeah. What was it with Warren Carlisle? What was that?
I mean, like I had done one cruise ship contract before that. I was 21 and I went, do you know what? This is not that contract, the one before. I want to see the world. I want to earn some money. And I just want to like, you know, get out there. And I auditioned for Norwegian Cruise Line and ended up doing a 7-month contract as a dance captain, which was lovely, on my first ship. And then about 6 months post contract, I get an email saying we've got this show that we're like conceptualizing and workshopping with someone called Warren Carlyle. Exactly. I know. Yes, I know who that is. Thank you so much. Would you like to audition for this role? And I just thought, you know, like I was just part of the show. I wasn't going to be doing it. Like maybe, I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to be doing, to be honest. And anyway, I put a self tape in and it just happened to be that they were like, the dates didn't line up. I was already supposed to do another contract. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to just put my tape in knowing that I can't do. They were like, well, if you can't do the original cast, we can put you forward for 2.0. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll put my tape in anyway. I'm going to do it just before I start this other contract. Anyway, they basically came back and said, we think you should not do whatever you're about to do and come join us for 1.0. The creative team really want you to, you know, be in this show. And at that stage, I don't think I really understood like kind of what was going on. It happened to be I was going to be in a show for a good friend of mine and they very much were like, this could change your life. Like, go do it. We really want to support you. So I'm very grateful for them. Basically packed up my bags in 2 days and got on another boat. But it's a show. It was a show that they were workshopping with Warren for Norwegian, basically. And so I got to work with him and Jason Sparks really closely, which was incredible. And the cast, everyone was from New York. Like I was just this random Aussie.
Where was your main port? Miami or Australia or where were you?
We Norwegian are out of Tampa, Florida. So we rehearsed there. And then Warren met us on the ship in Groningen. Because the ship was being built, and then we traveled across, they say, the Titanic path. And then we went down the East Coast and we stopped actually in New York because Jersey Boys was on the ship as well. And so we docked in New York for 3 days. I'll never forget, it was my birthday. It was my 23rd birthday. And we docked into New York at midnight as the clock struck at midnight. And like, I was standing at the front of the ship, just like, okay, that might be the second best moment in my life. But like, it's like, oh, this is incredible.
All right, well, the water's third now. The water's third.
Yeah. and then
for now, until you remember something else, and then it gets bumped down to fourth.
Right. I've had some good times. and then we went down. So we docked in New York for 3 days, and like Frankie Valli and stuff came on the ship too, which was incredible. And then down to Miami, and then we crossed through the Mexican Riviera through Panama Canal, and then we docked in LA, and that was like the last opening of the ship, and then we did Alaska. So it was great. It was really cool.
Cool. All right. So you got to.
Can I tell you a quick story though? Sorry, I'm like rambling. Warren Carlyle.
We're here for you, Ronnie. Ramble as much as you like.
I just think this is the funniest thing. Like, we as Aussies get really comfortable with people and we like automatically nickname people, you know, we'll like, won't really ask you. Right. I don't know if you've ever experienced that.
Yeah. I have a background in a good amount of fitness things, obviously, but one of them is CrossFit, and the fittest Australian or fittest woman in the world is from Australia.
Oh, wow.
Her name's Tia Claire Toomey, and she's won, I think, 6 years straight now. But they have lots of documentaries and lots of yada yada, and they say the same thing in these documentaries that, you know, oh, Maddie and oh, Joey and whatever, you know, things like that.
Yeah, we'll extend your name even when we can't. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just add a few letters. But basically, like, I had auditioned for Warren for Hugh Jackman's tour in Australia. Huh. And I got quite close to the end, but I didn't book the job. And anyway, I'm not going to assume that this guy is going to remember me, like this incredible Tony, you know, Broadway choreographer. I shook his hand and he kind of stopped. And he's like, do I know you? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, probably not. I'm just Australian, you know, like I'm just going to keep walking. Anyway, as we get working together, like it's super workshoppy and it's incredible. I'll never forget, I have to cross this like bridge and I walked across the stage and he gave me some direction and I was like, oh, no worries, Wazza. And I was like, and I froze. And I walked off into the wing and I just went, like, my life's over. I'm done. You know, like, I'm going to be kicked off this ship. He goes, hey, Romy, can you come out back out on stage? And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he goes, you know, there's only a certain few people in my life that call me Wazza, and it's Hugh Jackman. And I was like, yeah, sure. And he goes, but I miss him so much and I love Australians, so you're allowed to say that. And then, like, I walked off and I just will never forget, like, the fear in my eyes or anything that kind of was taking over my body at that stage, because I just thought, I can't believe I just did that. But he was so lovely and so nice and so good about it that it was then from then on he was Wazza. So, yeah.
How would you go about spelling that?
W-A-Z-Z-A, probably.
Okay. I want to make sure when I add captions to this part on Instagram that I spell it right, because that story is hilarious. So yeah. Funny.
Anyway,
okay. Please. Your interpretation of rambling, if you have any more of those thoughts in the future of this interview, please don't hold back, because that was epic. That was epic. Yeah. Okay, so run me through this. You're touring Australia, but then COVID happens, and then you're touring New Zealand? Or what happened?
So we kind of went through, like, I'm like you guys, maybe, like, in and out of lockdowns. So this was, like, start of 2021. We rehearsed Wedding Singer, Feb. And then we toured that. We got locked out, shut down a couple of times, trying to escape the States and, you know, just keep the show up. And we finished on the Gold Coast. And then we were always meant to do New Zealand, and that got postponed because the travel border bubble between us and New Zealand all of a sudden was taken away again. So we couldn't get there anymore. But then I got into Jagged, Little Pill, and unfortunately then wasn't able to return because they did a return Melbourne and Sydney season here in Australia for Wedding Singer. So I wasn't able to return because I was in Jagged. But then Jagged was meant to go to Perth. And at this stage, Perth's on our West Coast. We still couldn't really get into Perth. Perth was like a super hard border the entire COVID. So our Perth season of Jagged was cancelled. Or whatever was meant to happen in that time. And it just happened to be that they were putting New Zealand on for Wedding Singer in that couple of months. So I reached out and said, hey, I'm, like, to all producers, you know, this is my situation. I would love to be able to come back and be in the show. And then everyone said yes. It was so, like, my Jagged producers, I thank them for allowing me that. And then the Wedding Singer people for bringing me on, and I got to be my cover, Holly. So, you know, it was just timing of the universe, I think. But the first time I've ever actually been able to be in a role, like, I've never, you know, sung or acted that much on stage on my own in that kind of sense. And I will never forget that experience. It was so much fun. And especially in a triple threat role like that, where I'm getting to, like, kick a leg and jump into the splits and then, you know, drop water on me. It's really fun.
Okay, so let's zoom in on that. Love to, like, draw insight of ups and downs on performer stories to allow our listeners either to relate within their career or maybe relate it to fitness or just life in general. Mm-hmm. When you got that opportunity and the dancing was the dancing for you, but singing and acting and that that opportunity to really be spotlighted throughout the show, what did you go through? Any self-doubt, any, like, oh, whatever, you know, tell us a little bit about that journey.
I forget people can't see my face on here sometimes. I'm so expressive. I think anyone that trains in a certain aspect of their life and feels confident in that aspect will always feel doubt in the other parts, no matter how, like, even if they're not, like, they're still amazing at it. But, you know, dancing for me is, I always say I am my best performer self when I'm doing all three at once at the same time, you know, like, that's how I learned to sing, was in a back bend, or that's, you know, how I learned to kind of act within movement, especially. And obviously then you know, I always say standing and singing is my worst fear, like just standing still, not moving and singing, which is so interesting. So I think regardless of like how much training you have in it, it's always going to feel second to, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I've really had to tell myself, and Christian, my partner, is always at me. My parents always at me, like, you're not just a dancer. You're not just a dancer. Like, it's such a common thing. I know so many people would be able to relate to that. Like, you're a performer, and that you are a triple threat performer. But I constantly am out there saying, I'm a dancer. Like, you know, you're so much more than that. So like being given the opportunity to be in a role, and like I had 10 days to put that show together before we went to New Zealand too, because we weren't doing an extra rehearsal time. So I had to not only like, as a cover, you tend to have to be a little more cookie cutter and just like do the job. Whereas I had to find my version of this role in 10 days. Then Julia was also new. We were finding it together, which was so amazing. Elise McCann, she's a Halpin Award winner here in Australia, like phenomenal. To be honest, I'm so grateful I had her there. She was so warm and giving and didn't have to be that way, but she helped me so much to just ground my feet and be like, this is your version of this role. And like find my quirks, because it's comedy too. So like playing comedy is sometimes harder, like finding those beats and, you know, not like being in a show that is quite over the top, but finding the truth to it. There was a lot of nuance to find in a short amount of time that actually came with a lot of just doing it on stage. Singing wise, like, I really, to be honest, had to let go. I know that sounds so easy, easier said than done. But as we always say, your worst critic is yourself. And, you know, I had so many incredible people around me. I had obviously a shit ton of singing lessons. Sorry if I cannot say that. We Aussies, we swear as well. I had so many singing lessons, which I have had my entire life. It's not like that had changed. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a full process of, I think, first time in such a spotlight, in a huge role. Like, it's not a small role. But the fact, I think, that I got to dance so much as well really helped me kind of maybe ease into that, you know, like, yeah. I still really want to be move, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I know that tons of people are going to be able to relate to that. So thanks. Let's shake it up a bit. We're going to go into what I like to call the BFTS hot seat. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So you can try to be fast with it, but okay. if you need to think, it's okay. But fast seems to be more fun. So if you're walking into a room and the TV's playing and it's a movie that you've already seen 100 times, but it always makes you stop and watch it, what's that movie?
Crazy Stupid Love.
Me too. I freaking love that movie.
I'll never forget how much I pissed myself laughing that first time I watched that. And it's just my, like, I just love it. I'm a rom-com, maybe because of my name, but like, you know, I love it.
I'm not just saying that. Same. Hilarious. All right. So you are on your way to the theater or you're commuting. What's your go-to song to either strut to or listen to while you're driving or walking? What's your go-to song?
I'm going to have to say like a new Beyonce now, because that's been on repeat, like an Alien Superstar or Cuff It, you know, because that just makes me feel good. Okay.
If you were reincarnated and brought back to this earth as an animal, what animal would you be?
I used to always say dolphin as a kid, so I'm going to stick with that because I don't think I've thought about it as an adult. I'm fun. I'm free. I like to jump.
All right. I'm with it. Okay. Hilarious. If you weren't a performer, and let's try to stay away from the arts in general, what would your job or what would you be doing right now?
I have a strong love of anatomy. I would probably be like an osteo or something that like dealt with body. I actually have a disease in my spine called Sherman's. And so I just feel like I just want to like, I would be able to, I just love anatomy. I think the way that the human body's constructed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you were to travel somewhere, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you had to either fly or take a boat or drive, which is your like long vacation? What's your choice on how you're going to get there?
I mean, asking an Aussie, like we kind of, you know, probably have to fly everywhere for thousands of hours, but I love a road trip. I'd probably say car.
All right. So you're now the choice is a car. So we have to drive to where we're going.
Okay.
Where are you going to go? Right. Where's like, hey, if I could just jump in the car and go there, have as many days off as I need, where mm-hmm. are you going to go?
Probably Southeast Queensland by the water. Maybe even into Byron Bay or like anywhere along that East Coast, just lay back.
Okay. Have you been before?
Yes. I'm from Brisbane. So I like, that's kind of home.
Okay. Got it. So you're there.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing or the first thing that you're going to run to go eat?
Mexican food.
they're known for that there, or you just like it in general?
I just love Mexican food.
Okay, hilarious. I thought that maybe that location like had this great place to go to.
No, I will say anything with pineapple on it, like a Queenslander like me, like we have pineapple on everything. I know people just hate that, like pizza, burgers, everything. Anything fresh.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. That's the end of our chill hot seat. Good job.
Thanks.
You're off the hot seat. All right. So
I'm ready for my game show debut at some stage.
Yeah. Totally ready. Okay. So that brought up a next topic for me for sure. Tell me about Sherman's or the spine condition.
Yeah.
if you don't mind.
No, it's fine. To be honest, like I'm super grateful that it's not an extreme version of, but I could never like touch my head to my toes or like do anything flexible with my back. And as a kid, and I was always like, this is weird. Like I see my friends improving. And I'm like, I can't do this. Anyway, like I didn't really think much of it. You know, I am your stage performer. I give all of the face and, you know, like I didn't really think it was, you know, at that stage of, I guess, growing up, it was going to affect me much, but I've had my first full body x-ray at like 17, I'm pretty sure. And it came up and I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Cause I just sometimes feel like I have just a rod of a spine. Like it just, everything's just like, it's through my thoracic mostly. So like I bend mostly through my lumbar spine, through my lower back. And that's my hinge point now, instead of like any kind of flexion and extension in my mid back. And like, no one's really going to know this. Like, it's not like I'm going to put that on my CV, you know, like before I go into a job. Most people I say are super surprised. Like, wow, you shouldn't, how can you dance? I'm like, well, because I did ballet my entire life, I've just always stood up straight and I've always had a great posture, but I should be a lot more rounded through my, if I didn't dance, I'd probably be a lot more rounded through my shoulders. Cause pretty sure for the way I've been explained it, my vertebrae stack in those certain parts in like a triangular sense. So instead of like a rectangular vertebrae that stacks straight, it kind of creates a bit more of an arch. So it's a little more like just from impact and things, but manageable. So I just have to make sure that, you know, it's kind of hard. I was saying this yesterday, actually. It's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. Like if I don't do a lot of movement, it's stiff. If I do a lot of movement, it's stiff. So I've kind of just like lived with it and just, you know, once I kind of hit a sore spot, I wouldn't say it's painful. It just feels stiff. I just cannot move my back, basically. But again, no one's going to know.
Yeah. You figured out how to live with it or cope with it.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know, there's so many other people out there that, you know, have come back from way, way worse, you know, like for me to just manage it because I'm not going to change what I do. It's fine. It just, you know, just takes focus and a bit more discipline with it. That's kind of it.
So ballet was essentially like a secondary physical therapy for you.
Without knowing. Like just, you know, ballet's good for anyone 6 months to, you know, they say it changes your entire life after 6 months. So yeah, it just happened to be that you know, that kind of saved me. But who knows? Like, yeah, that was 17. I was 17. I was already dancing so much by that stage. So yeah. It's, yeah, wouldn't have known.
Okay. So with your career so far and you being consistent, how or what do you attribute to that, work ethic wise or habit wise? Like, if you were to talk to a teenager or someone young in the business, what is something that you try to practice that you would encourage anyone to try to do?
I really enjoy mentoring, to be honest. Like, that's something that I would love to do more of, especially pre-professional. I think the whole thing of being kind on and off stage is such a big thing. I think, especially as being a dance captain, what I've learned, everyone learns differently. Everyone responds differently. You know, no two people are the same. And I think in terms of work ethic, like, nothing is ever too hard. Nothing is ever not worth it. I would just say, like, making sure that attitude and kindness and consideration to everyone is also is such a key. People being seen, people being heard, people, you know, just listening. It's all that stuff, I think, that doesn't get taught, that kind of just comes with who you are as a person, that really you can see. When I had a lot of, I would say, green new people in Jagged that had never done a show before. I kind of became Mama Rum, which was hilarious. But it was so exciting for me to, like, give these people the best experience they've ever had, or like a first experience that they've ever had. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation and a lot of hard conversation, but I guess it was about the way I went about it to help them. I didn't want to deter them. I didn't want them to feel reprimanded. You know, it was just about learning and, like, growth within that, I guess. So yeah, does that answer that?
Where do you get that from? You said not everyone has this trait or think about. Is this your family? Who is this?
Yeah, I'm so blessed. I think the older I get, the more I realize how lucky I am to have had such a really loving upbringing. I'm talking to my parents every day. I've been out of home for 10 years now, but they, you know, they're still my number one supporters. And I just grew up in a very open, communicative environment. I told them everything, literally everything. And that was just kind of the way it was. And I didn't know any different or think that anyone grew up any differently until I became an adult and went, oh, wow, like, that's a rarity. You know, like, so I'm super grateful because, yeah, they definitely, mom always says that I chose her, like, it's her biggest thing, but, like, you know, they've taught me everything. So, and other mentors, obviously, at dance, you know, because I was there for so long, so much of my life. But yeah.
Were you the, like, typical dance kid? Like, you were there all day, like, all weekend. That was the life, right?
Sorry, I can't. I have dance, you know, that famous saying. So,
right.
I missed out on a lot of things growing up, but I wouldn't change it.
Okay. All right. So does this come up in your career now where, like, the willingness to sacrifice is organically there? Like, you don't really have to think about sacrifice. You just know it's a part of the gig or, yeah.
Yeah, I think to a certain to a certain place, like, I wouldn't say that it is easy. Like, not that sacrifice always is. I wouldn't say that it's just something that I'm like, yep, doesn't matter, I'm just going to do this anyway. But I guess it's definitely the aftermath that's always the hardest, when you know you have missed out on something, to, like, dealing with that and dealing with, you know, just making sure that I made the right choice for myself and for others. And you know, taking that into consideration. But it's definitely, like, I've had to plan my wedding into my next contract, which I can't talk about yet.
Well, early congratulations.
Thank you. It's going to be really fun. I'm very excited.
Nice.
Next one.
All right. We'll end with a fitness question here. You only get one choice of how you're going to work out today. How are you going to work out? What's your go-to? What do you like to do?
Dancing.
Dancing. There you go.
I have to be honest, like, you know, this, I'm about to sign up, Joe. Like, seriously, for me, the gym has never been a part of my life ever. So, you know, and that's just brutal honesty from me, but that's because I've just always danced and conditioned myself that way. So I'm keen to like learn and, you know, get into cool. it.
Well, I know a guy.
Yeah.
And he usually replies with a thank you email and an offer to show you what's up. So
I can't wait.
I'll definitely send it over. So excuse me. This was as lovely as expected. I was just in London 3 weeks ago. Excuse my use of lovely cool. there, but I really enjoyed the chat, and we're going to do, if you're willing, a volume two when you're able to talk about your new contract. And yeah. by then maybe you'll have tied the knot. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more to catch up on. So hope nice. To have you back soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing.
My pleasure. All right. See you later. Bye. All right, everyone. Rami Vuksin, all the way from Australia, again, doing some top secret 007 secret agent musical or play or movie thing coming up soon, and also getting married. So make sure you go and give her a follow at Rami Vuksin. You can see that in the description of this episode. Again, I'm Joe Roscoe. Appreciate you spending the time with us. If you like the podcast, rate it, subscribe, leave a comment, screenshot it, put it on your IG, rent a billboard, put it on a highway, write a letter, do all the things, share it with your friends. Yeah, actors are athletes. Train like one. Later.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.